life.
Now that you're gone, all that's left is a band of gold. All that's left of the dreams I hold is a band of gold. And the memories of what love could be if you were still here with me. You took me from the shelter of a mother I had never known, who loved any other. We kissed after taking vows, but that night on our honeymoon, we stayed in separate rooms. I wait in the darkness of my lonely room, filled with sadness, filled with gloom, hoping soon that you walk back through that door and love me like you tried before. Since you've been gone, all that's left is a band of gold. All that's left of the dreams I hold is a band of gold. And the dream of what love could be if you were still here with me.
Greetings, Xenophiles. On this day in 1970, Holland Dozier Holland's Invictus Records label released that Freda Payne's signature single, Band of Gold. That's why you just heard it. On this day in 1792, the guillotine was first used in France to execute the highwayman Nicolas Pelletier. Happy birthday to Bjorn Ulvaeus from ABBA, 79, today, and Renée Zellweger, who's 55. I guess this week, singer, not just any singer, Argentinian tango singer. Analia Celis comes to us all the way from Argentina via the United States, and she prefers life in Romania, so she stayed. Let's get cracking. We've got a lot to talk about. As usual, the first question is, Analia Celis, who do you think you are?
I am a mom, tango singer, and a CrossFitter.
A CrossFitter. You didn't write that down in your notes.
Yes, I wanted to surprise you. I am a mom. First of all, I am a mom.
Right.
Then I am a singer.
Okay.
Tango singer.
A mom to whom?
A mom to Noah, yeah. And a mom to Tiago. Noah is 13 and Tiago is 11. 12 is he's going to turn next week. Next month. Mm-hmm. Pardon. And then I am a tango singer. And then I am a CrossFitter.
Right.
This is the three things that I think I am. I am, and I like believing that I am.
yeah. And do I remember correctly, it would be happy birthday for you in 2 days' time, assuming
yes.
that considering now is Thursday
yes.
on Saturday, will be your birthday.
I'm going to be 47.
No, don't say that.
I'm proud of my 47. It's with seven.
It is hard yes. to believe. So it'd be, yeah. Now we'll get into the first part of the stories. The first chapter, which we call Throwback.
Expat life.
The rollback.
Tell me about your childhood.
So as the man said, tell mm-hmm. me about your childhood. You were born on the other side of the world and we already yes. established that was Argentina. Tell yes. me about it.
I was born in a small city, actually the smallest in Argentina. It's in the north. It's called Tucumán, San Miguel de Tucumán.
San Miguel de Tucumán?
Yes.
I
was born there.
Uh-huh. Which
and
is I don't know the geography of Argentina.
It's north.
Right.
North. Then after Tucumán, you have Salta, which is the other city before Argentina ends or starts there, or whatever you want to say to think it is. And then it's Bolivia.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's very north. And I was born there and I lived my the whole life that I lived in Argentina until I was 19 and I left. I was a city girl. I lived and I grew up in the city, but I always loved the mountain. It's close to the mountains, like
right.
1 hour and a half. We
mm-hmm.
have mountains, and also my grandparents from my mom's side.
Right,
they are from the countryside. So every weekend we
straight away escape.
Yes. And those are really nice thoughts, memories.
Do you still do, because we're all about an hour and a half from the mountains here in Bucharest, do you still do the same thing and run to the mountains every chance you get?
I like the mountains, yeah. Yes. I have no time, but I love going to the mountains.
Right.
And it's a place there in Tucumán called Tafí del Valle. It is a valley, and for me is the paradise. And
right.
It's a small place, and it's calm, and I have very good memories from my childhood there. Going in the weekends, I was very happy, very very happy going there.
Were you part of a big family?
Yes, very big family. A lot of. Cousins, many.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know exactly how many, but many, and many aunts and
it's
uncles.
Typical from
and
where
yes,
you are,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes. Even now, for example, I have friends that they have 5, 6 children.
Yeah.
So it's a common thing in Latin America.
Right.
So very big family, and very close. You know, surrounded by sisters, my two sisters, my cousins, and all friends, always playing outside.
Right.
We had this neighborhood thing very into us. Tango talks a lot about neighborhood, the
right.
neighborhood,
uh-huh.
the barrio. Barrio is
barrio,
called,
yes,
barrio
correct.
Is called neighborhood. So this neighborhood thing is really like a tradition and it's still now. And we used to always, you know, play with our friends. Like I have like a group of 10 friends, and
okay.
we meet every time I go to Argentina. We still are
just the same group.
Yeah,
wow,
in contact. And so I had a nice childhood. I would say I was very wild
yeah.
child. Yeah,
wild.
Always, yeah, always having accidents and playing with boys. And,
climbing trees.
I love a lot soccer. I say soccer. I don't say football because I
yes.
lived in Boston, so I say
okay.
that, you know, soccer. You know, I was really I would be always with an accident or something,
right.
very wild. Until what point would I calm down?
And then you decide maybe it's better to be a girl or a lady. That comes later. Yeah. How about school?
I loved my school.
Right.
It was a Catholic girls' school. This school took me definitely away of the mm-hmm. of the religion. I'm not a religion person, and this is what I learned there. And I'm not going to go close anyway to the, any
right.
anymore to religion thanks to the school.
Yeah.
So it's a good thing, I think.
Well, I was just thinking that. I mean, that's like
thing.
The Catholic school did its job there, but
yeah.
not quite.
But I stayed because I had a lot of good friends,
yeah.
and I liked the school. I liked the teachers. I was okay. I always knew that I wanted to be a musician,
right?
And in Argentina at that time, there were not schools like here. For example, the Giorgio Ionesco, where my kids are,
uh-huh.
that they go and they do, you know, general school,
yes.
and they have also music.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have that. So you have as a child that wanted to do music, you had to go to a conservatory,
right?
And so I was doing this in parallel,
mm-hmm.
and so it was really. Really hard, but I was a very, very good worker since I am a child for that. And so I went to school in the morning and then in the afternoons to the conservatory and always, you know, studying and playing the
right.
piano. And I knew that I wanted to be a musician, so I didn't pay much attention to the school. And in the high school, I copy. Mm-hmm. I copied a lot.
So that's
I copied. I
You found the efficient way
to pass.
Yeah.
I really wanted to finish high school and just to do music.
Yeah.
And the last 2 years of high school, I remember that I kind of suffered. I didn't want to go to school, but I knew I had to finish.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah.
singing was all
yeah.
you ever wanted to do.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah.
Like since
yeah.
from a little girl.
I sing since I have memories. I
yeah.
don't know when I started wishing this. I think mm-hmm. I just was born like this.
Were you
yeah.
from a musical family or were you the standout
no.
girl with the singing?
No, my father used to play the guitar,
right.
But not in a professional
uh-huh.
way. But he died when he was 2, so I didn't have much of him. And I,
okay.
you know, I
mm-hmm.
didn't have much, and I don't come from a music family. This was in me. I just came like this.
So that was, and you said you had sisters, and so
yes.
when your father died, it was just girls together then?
Yeah, the three
Ooh,
of us. Yeah,
tough.
My Yeah, my older sister was 4 and my younger sister was 1.
Whoa.
So, yeah.
That's tough.
And my mom, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but she did a good job.
Well, evidently, yes.
And she always supported us. So she, I never had this, this thing that I want to be a musician and you know, to not be so, not have a support of my mom. So it was really nice.
One of your earliest memories was when you got a piano for Christmas.
Well, it's too much to say a piano. Steve, I don't remember how big it was. I think it was this very small thing.
Right.
I think I was very small, maybe 3 years old, because I don't have I remember everything. No, I have a picture of me, of the feeling that I had when I saw these color keyboards.
It was
electronic.
Right.
This was amazing. You had to plug it and it had sounds. And I remember it was for me something huge. And in my memory, it was a huge a piano. But actually, I think it was a toy.
A toy one, yeah, but still.
Yes, I was playing a lot. I mean, like a joke, like mm-hmm. a, like joke. No, yes. Like playing, yeah, playing.
Just play, just
like,
for,
but
just
not
for
playing
fun.
Music, play for, playing like kids play with, yeah. with toys.
Yes.
That was music for me.
Right. You mentioned earlier that you, one of the things about your childhood was that you had two sets of grandparents and they were very different.
Yes, yes.
Tell me about that.
I think that was very good for my education, because my mom fell in love with my father, and my mom was a countryside, very, very, very modest, from a very actually poor family living in the countryside. She moved to the city to work, and she was my father's waitress in a restaurant.
Right.
Yes, and he fell in love with her, and this is like a soap opera, okay? and then she was refused by the family because she was poor, and but finally they accepted her.
Well,
So I come from this, from my mother's side, very modest, poor family, and from my father's side, rich family. And so this was really, it was a complex image for me. Yes. And because imagine, for example, Christmas, uh-huh. we go from one house to the other house.
Oh,
and there were two realities completely different.
Wow.
Black and white. So, mm-hmm. and as a child, I think it was really good because I have this thing that I can adapt to any situation,
right.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it was beautiful going to both houses, you know?
Right.
So this gave you when you're a child and things come in your conscience, set you, you know, mm-hmm. A good thing for your life inside.
Yes.
There were happy families,
yeah.
you know, both. And for me, it was an interesting picture
yeah.
For a child.
Right.
And we were just, you know, but we were just changing, like, you know, nothing was weird for us, you know.
Interesting point to possibly move on. But before we do, if I was going back to San Miguel de
Tucumán,
uh-huh. going back to it, I've never been there. But if I want to go there, what's the first thing I should look for as a tourist?
I will go directly to Tafí del Valle.
Yeah.
To the mountains.
Oh, right.
I will go directly there. It's a nice city. It's a very nice city, small. And if you go to downtown, from downtown, you can see the mountains. It's very beautiful. But I will go directly to Tafí del Valle. It's special there. It's special energy.
Right.
And people is special.
Okay.
So I will go directly there.
Your first piece of music. Tell me what you picked.
Well, you know, I told you about my first song here, actually.
Yes.
Because I composed many songs, but when I came here, I already had composed a lot of folk songs, mm-hmm. actually. I was, being in Boston, I just fell in love with the folk Argentinian music.
Right.
I was a classical musician, yes. okay? But in Boston and living with some guys that were studying in Berkeley and doing some Latin jazz from Argentina,
right.
I started listening to this lot of music from my country. And also, I think because I was missing my country,
right.
you know, this made me close. And so at some point I started, you know, singing a little bit of, I was classical. Right. And then singing a little bit of, you know, folklore. And the guys were telling me, come, sing with us a song. And then I went to Berkeley and I recorded something for some Ecuador guys. In this way, I got close.
Right.
So then, at the third year of university there, I knew that I wasn't going to be a classical singer anymore. But I decided to finish because I went for that and it was a pity to not. And so when I came here in Romania, I already started composing.
Right.
But in the Argentinian style.
Uh-huh.
With Argentinian folk rhythm. But then this home disc company came and they told me, you know, we have to do a little bit more commercial. So that Yo No Soy De Aquí, which is the most famous song that I have, it was hit number one, I don't know, like months. And so that Yo No Soy De Aquí is definitely the most famous song here that I have. And it's talking a lot about me. It means Yo No Soy De Aquí, it means I'm not from here.
Miro para atrás cuando no me duele mirar tanto que yo andé, tantos son los que dejé. No era una ilusión, era mi camino y bien lo seguí, que llegué hasta aquí para seguir feliz. Yo no soy de aquí.
Around Radio Gorilla.
Expat Life.
Money, money, money.
Welcome back to Expat Life with Analia Celis. Now, moving the story on, it's clear that you finished school with only one dream, which was music. So university or music school or what? What did you study and where?
Yes, well, I was already studying the conservatory. Yes, I finished high school and I still had 3 years more of conservatory to finish, you know, the part of the university will be. And at that point, I was at the conservatory, I was studying piano. And then I had to choose because I was singing also. I went to, since I was a child, to choir. And then I went to teenagers choir and then to adults. And I had to decide what to do because I couldn't do a piano and also a classical singing. So I decided so that I would finish the university, not to do it as a pianist because it was really hard to do piano, you know, and then voice as a performance, both instruments. So I decided to finish pedagogy. So I finished music pedagogy in the Tucumán University of Music. And then after that, I decided to move to Boston. I was going to Buenos Aires during the summers to do... To do classical singing courses.
So during this point, were you playing live, to public, performing in front of public?
I was a little bit, but I was studying a lot. I was really young, you know, as a classical singer.
Right.
So I went to Boston for an English course.
And why Boston?
Because I had a boyfriend at that point, and I had a group of friends. They were dreaming to move to Boston. And, you know, I was just, it's musicians, of course.
Yes.
And we just planned this together. So I went to Boston to visit. I had a lot of money at that time. Okay. My mom, you know, developed the business that my father left her.
Right.
So she could send me to Boston. I did English courses and I visited the conservatories. And then I did an audition. They went me in with a small scholarship. The rest was going to be paid by my mom. So I said, okay, I moved to Boston. So when I was 19, young age for a classical singer.
Yes.
So I was singing, but I was still studying. I still had a lot to do. So I moved to Boston and I studied there the classical singing, 4 years of University of Music. I listened also pop and Argentinian rock, but mainly classical. Before I left to Boston, I was studying English a lot because I didn't know any English. I did French at school. I had no idea. And I had to do the TOEFL to go to the university. So I was studying like crazy English, when not English piano, when not piano voice. And that was, I liked that life. I enjoyed it.
So you had no leisure time at all?
No. And I loved also listening and classical music. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I moved to Boston and then the party started, living with Berklee jazz and folk musicians. A drummer, a guitar player, a bass player.
Right.
They were playing also home. So I started, and I was crazily missing Argentina. So they started playing these amazing songs, talking about the mountains and those places that I loved. And I just got crazy. Yeah. I started listening to Mercedes Sosa, which is like the most famous for folk, Argentinian folk music. She was the big voice of Argentina for folklore. So I started listening a lot and I started wishing to sing this music. So I started, you know, just learning the pieces, learning. And then the third year of university, I knew that I wasn't going to be a classical singer.
Oh.
Yes. I just got crazy about
just
this music.
I
listened
already.
A lot of jazz also. I learned a lot. I was mm-hmm. going to concert with the guys to Berklee. I started going for free, just to learn.
Right.
I offered myself, my voice, for projects. You know, the students in Berklee, they had to do projects that go to the studio and record the bolero, or record the salsa, or record the Brazilian music. I learned Portuguese, to sing in Portuguese.
Wow.
They were my first bossa nova, a samba, that I sang. And so I was doing this for free. And this gave me a lot of, you know, what I didn't have experience.
Right.
And then I started singing also for money in Boston. And then at that third year, I met Răzvan Suma, cellist from Romania.
What was he doing in Boston?
He was studying a master.
Right.
In the cello. He's an amazing cellist.
Yeah.
And amazing. He's really, really one of, from his generation, he's the best. And so I fell in love completely with him. At that time, Argentina was in 2000, and it was a crisis, a huge. At some point, my mom told me, "Look, this is really going crazy. I don't think
don't come back."
Yeah, and she. But the worst thing is that she told me, "You know, I don't think if I'm going to have money to pay the last year of university."
Ooh.
So then, I learned to work.
Yes.
To really work.
Right.
I was doing everything. Not prostitution.
Okay.
No. But
you got
I have a limit. But I was doing everything. I worked at the university, library, at the concert hall. And then since money was not enough, I started doing babysitting so I could pay my last year of university. Yes, yes. And at that point, I was already thinking that I'm not going to come back to Argentina, not for now.
Mm-hmm.
And my sisters were thinking to move to Spain, where they live now, actually.
Right.
So I said, well, you know, maybe when I'm done here, I'm going to move to Spain, because I didn't like North America to live.
Yeah.
I knew that since the beginning. It was not a place for me. But I think those years, you know, learning Boston, learning to live and to be able to, you know, to do your life and to, it was really important for me there in such a country, you know, such an important country. So I think it opened a lot my mind and my I developed a lot as a person. So, but I knew I wasn't going to stay there. So, and then Răzvan came to my life and I thought, let's see the map. Where is Romania?
It's not that far from Spain, is it?
It's close to Spain. You know, I was going to start from zero anywhere. And I said, well, you know, Romanian shouldn't be so hard to learn. I learned English very quickly.
Right.
So I said, okay. And we were having a really good relation. I was completely, crazily in love.
Yeah.
And so I decided to come here. First, I came for vacation to check out a little bit. And then I came in the summer in 2002, and then I came in the winter in 2002.
Right.
And I moved in September 2003. I thought, you know, at that point, to do wrong right. is to not try and
correct.
To be frustrated. So I said, you know, if I don't go and try, I will, and then I don't
regret.
Fall in love anymore like this in my life, I'm going to regret.
Yes.
Right. And I don't want to regret.
Okay.
I go.
Right.
If it doesn't work, I take my stuff and I move everywhere. I thought, you know, I was so free and I wasn't scared of yeah. anything. So I said, you know, anything can happen. Just take your stuff and
you
move.
As the saying goes, you never regret the things you did as much as you regret the things you didn't do.
You didn't try, yeah, and you didn't do. And so I came.
Right.
And it was really a good decision.
Right.
And I had an amazing life since I came here. Everything went so fast. I was sure that it was going to be. I wanted to be good.
Yeah,
I wanted, and I did my best for it to be
right.
good. And everything that happened then in my career came very quickly.
We'll talk about that after the next piece of music. Something from.
Piazzolla. Well, this is about Piazzolla. He was crazy about hunting sharks. And so he composed this piece, which is called a squalo, which is a type of shark, I think.
Okay.
Yes, yes. And he's describing, you know, the feeling of. So it's interesting.
And it's all the adrenaline of the shark hunting. And
adrenaline.
It actually comes out
yeah.
through the music.
Yeah, and the violinist, we are playing with Argentango here. Here is my ex-husband also playing. It's a cellist, Razvan Suma, then Mariano Castro, pianist from Argentina, Omar Massa, bandoneon. And this song was written for violin and is playing Rafael Butaro, which is an amazing Romanian violinist. So enjoy it.
It's Expat Life with Analia Celis, and we're continuing the story. So, Analia, you came to Romania in the summer. What was your first impression?
I loved it. Yes, I just did. But I don't know if I was really objective because I was so in love with Razvan.
Okay.
But we know when you love somebody, you love him with everything he
yes.
is and everything he has. And he loved his country and he loves his country. And he told me something. He told me, you know, I don't know what's going to happen with our relationship, but I really want to be with you.
Right.
But I want to come back to Romania because in Romania you can build. And there
okay,
is a lot.
Yes.
He told me Romania is a country that has a lot of space to build. And it needs us. It needs me to come back as a musician because it needs me to go and build. And I want to come back and build. And I believe in Romania. So for me, it was enough. And
yeah.
I said, okay. I should try.
Right, yes.
Sounds good. So I came and he was so, you know, into show me the country and everything. And I already knew a lot about music. I was listening in Boston, Sofia Vicobianca, Maria Tanase, Grigore Leșe,
yes.
Gheorghe Sanfir.
Uh-huh.
And so when I came here, he is from Cluj. We went to Cluj and I remember, you know, being in the mountains there and just feeling like this music, you know, that I was listening. I said, wow, this atmosphere is the music that I was listening in Boston. And so I took the country with everything. I like the people because I found them closer to my Latin spirit.
Yeah.
So then I moved here.
Yeah.
In September 2000, I went to Oradea, I remember. And what I loved about that trip was that I came for Christmas. So uh-huh. And I lived all these traditions and I really liked it. I really liked it. I enjoyed it a lot. And I thought the first impression that I had about Romanian also in the summer is that it's a country with traditions.
Yes. Were you singing Colinde?
Yes. Yes. We went, yes, in Cluj. We have this group of friends that are from the conservatory,
right.
Musicians. For many years, until kids were born, actually, we went to Cluj. And in Christmas night, we will go house to house, to all the houses, until 6 in the morning, you know, and drinking palinka.
Yes.
And eating. And then you at 6 in the morning, you don't feel anything.
Correct. You don't feel the cold.
Nothing.
From
it's nice.
Everything.
It's nice. And the first thing, I wanted to work. I was very ambitious and mm-hmm. I wanted to work. So I did a CV for me, biography. And I sent to all the kindergartens in Bucharest that were teaching in English. All of them. And then there was this kindergarten, which was called International Nursery School in Quartier Frances.
Right,
the French,
yes, yes.
Yeah. So they called me and there was a British director. She loved me from the beginning. I found out that I really learned really good what to do with kids because I knew what I had to do with small kids from 2 years old that were coming with the pampers and how do you call them?
The dummies, the
Suzeta. How do you say in English?
Dummy.
Gummy?
Dummy. With a
gummy.
Dummy.
I didn't know. Yeah, so I knew what to do. And the director was in love with me. And I really enjoyed that time. And then Razvan put me in contact with the percussionist, Ati, which is from Chile.
Ati, yes.
We say hello to Ati. And so I was playing with him. He was my first percussionist. And then with a double bass and a guitar player. And my dream as a singer was, you know, kind of things in a place like, you know, like Greenough, where it's like a small place, jazzy atmosphere. Just, you know, to talk about small group of people drinking wine there and singing my Latin American song. I was singing Brazilian songs, boleros, Mexico. I was singing a lot and Argentinian stuff.
Yeah.
In my tour, I will sing in Green Hours in May. And then, so that was it, you know. But then a friend of mine came to me and told me, you know, there is this this company, Media Pro Music, which the manager is in love with Latin American music. And I told him about you and he really wants to come. And I didn't know what was Media Pro Music and Pro TV and all this stuff.
Right.
I had no idea. So I said, tell him to come. Yeah. And the guys, you know, Ati and the other guys, he's not going to come because these guys are too important to come to listen to us. And you know, we were rehearsing in a basement.
Right.
Really dark, which was called the Cotets.
Ah, yes.
La Cotets.
Yeah, yeah.
So this guy came. And then at that night, I will say something in parallel. In Sala Palatului here in Bucharest, there was a concert, Buena Vista Social Club's concert. And I was...
Right.
I was in love. And that was the first time I was going to see them and to listen to them.
Right.
And I was consuming Buena Vista Social Club in Boston and dancing. And I had tickets for that night. So that guy came to the rehearsal in the morning.
Right.
And he told me, I really like your music. So tonight is my wife's birthday party, small party with important people. And do you want to come and play? And I said, well, you know, I'm going to come, but after the Buena Vista Social Club.
Of course, you can't miss that. Wow.
So I said, okay. And that night, when I went to listen to Buena Vista, I had this feeling, you know, in the Sala Palatului, I knew that this guy, the manager, was big. And I knew that, you know, things may go really in a good way, in a big way for me. I was thinking, wow, what it would be to sing in a stage like this, to sing in front of so many people. And you know, when you wish and sort of you think that it's possible in your life.
You bend the universe to make it happen.
Yeah, this is a thing of energy, the universe, I don't know. So that was it. I went to the party. I played for these people. I signed a contract with them. I won Cherbul de Aur. Everything went quickly, you know. And then this Yo No Soy de Aquí that we listened came, you know, to the radio. It was hit number one everywhere. Steve, it was so quickly everything that I have to tell you that I didn't understand what was happening to me.
Right.
Until I went to Argentina in December for Christmas. And so in January was going to be launched this Yo No Soy De Aquí,
yes,
the radio and at the TV with a video clip. It was really important at the time, the video clips, you know. And so the general manager, Sorin, told me, you know, when you come from Argentina, we will already know what's going to happen with your career. Because if it's hit number one, then but we don't know yet. Uh-huh. Okay, so I wasn't worried. I went to Argentina, Christmas, you know,
family,
holidays. So I didn't know how big it was, the thing that was happening in my life, until I arrived from Argentina.
Right.
I took a taxi and I listened my song.
On the radio.
I go to the supermarket and my song is there.
On the
I go to the shoppings and my song is everywhere. And I was saying to the people, you know, it's me. Ah, and they would tell me, nah, what is not you? Because the video clip was not already so famous. I wasn't going to TVs, anything. You could see the video clip, this kind of Frida Kahlo stuff I was there. So, and then, you know, they're without makeup or without, it's me. And they wouldn't believe. So this all happened, yeah? This was April, and I'm talking to you about January next year. January, February, March. At some point, I got a call from a manager, Paul Nanka, and he tells me, you know, I'm interested to work with you as a manager for concerts. And I said, okay, let's set up a meeting. And he tells me, I want to convince you to sign with me, exclusive contract.
Right.
So I want to propose you this year to open Buena Vista Social Club in Sala Palatoy.
Oh, wait a second.
And this happened 1 year later.
Exactly,
I was
later.
Opening.
Yes.
And I met all of them.
Yes.
Then I opened three times. It came like for 3 years consecutive. And I was opening all the concerts. I met them. It was amazing. It was crazy. And I said, this is crazy, you know? And I understood the energies, the universe and all that stuff. And then, you know, and then I had like three CDs more after that, video clips, shows, a lot of TV, radios, big stages, many concerts with the band.
Right.
Yeah. And then kids came. Yes. And I wanted two, and it came one after the other.
Right.
You know, when the girl was 7 months, I was already pregnant with the boy.
Okay.
So I made a break of 4 years, actually. Yeah. So when I decided to come back after the boy was born, a music industry, it changed a lot. And I didn't see myself anymore there. I remember I was trying with my guitar and every day, you know, trying to compose and nothing came. And I was tired also of these stories about love. My life changed. I was a mom. I had other stuff to say, other things to say. And in the commercial music, those things that I wanted to say were not welcomed. It was too old fashioned. They needed other studies. So I was really, you know, stuck. And then Razvan came to me. At that time, he was doing every year a tour, Romanian tour, that was called Va Place. Do You Like Bach was the first.
All
Va
right.
Place Bach. And he did all the Bach suites in 16 concerts. It was crazy.
Nice.
And
Good
then
idea.
The next year, he did Do You Like Brahms?
Right.
With a pianist.
Mm-hmm.
And then at that time, at the end of the tour, he came to me and he said, well, you know, next year I want to do You Like Tango?
Oh.
And I want to do that with you.
Right.
And I said, well, you know, you should be crazy because tango is not a style that you easily sing. I was born 1,350 kilometers from Buenos Aires. I didn't grow up in tango.
Right.
Besides that, I was a classical.
All right.
So then I became a folklore, Argentinian folklore. Tango was so far away from me. I mean, I respect, and that is why because I never sang it, because I never sing it because of the respect that I have. You can't go and just sing a tango if you don't learn the style.
Right.
And then I thought about it a few days, and I was really stuck in my life. And I said, well, you know, give it a try. 1 year from now, I have time to study. I have time to prepare. I believed my capacity to learn. Mm-hmm. So I said, you know, let's do it. So I started studying. I didn't try to sing anymore on stage this year. That year, I didn't play at all.
Right.
I was studying tango like crazy. Listening all the musicians from 1950 that I didn't know.
Right.
Studying, reading, looking for lyrics. And then I went to Buenos Aires. I studied with some teachers there. And so after 1 year, I went for the first time on stage as a tango singer, not feeling like a tango singer, not knowing what's going to happen, really full of emotion and not sure about me.
Yeah.
And I, after 20 seconds of, you know, of singing, I was singing the tango and I was thinking, oh, wow, it is in my blood. You know, like realizing at the end of the concert, I knew the tango was going to be a way to go.
That's your future.
Just a way to go. No back.
Mm-hmm.
And this is it.
This is it. And it still is. Good time to play some of this tango music.
Yes, yes. Eh? Milonga de la Anunciación, it was written for Opera Maria de Buenos Aires, which is a very dark, as Piazzolla music. Very, very dramatic opera. She is a shadow, you know, and she wants to not be shadow anymore. She's in darkness. Maria is dark in darkness. The metaphor, actually.
Yes.
And she wants to be light. She wants to go out from this darkness.
Right.
And she's trying the whole opera to do it until, and she can't, until what point that she decides to rebirth herself,
right,
being a dark, to give birth Maria light.
Right.
And this piece is describing the moment that she is given.
Tres marionetas, chuecas y locas, que una violeta en la boca me hincaron ayer. Con un cuchillo en los dientes por el revés de mis caderas, tordillas surciendo mal, un gran remiendo en flor de inocuo y de sisal. Chapaleando de cuarta en la voz y un canenguito sobor con un sorcel de punto cruz y un dulce barro torcaz de Cruz del Sur que hoy me ha puesto a temblar.
This is Expat Life. You know you want it.
Expat Life.
Next chapter.
So welcome back. This is it. Next chapter, last chapter of the show with Analia Celis. Now, this is where we talk about what's happening next. And what's happening next for you right now is you're going on tour, right?
Yes.
Tell us about Tango Auténtico.
It's 20 years of career and it's 10 years since I sing tango.
Wow.
So I'm celebrating this.
Oh, yes.
I bring two musicians from Buenos Aires, big, huge tango musicians, Julián Caeiro and bandoneon player Damián Foretic.
All right.
And they will be touring with me. There will be concerts in trio and also symphonic concerts. We are going to be playing traditional Argentinian tango and also we are going to be playing Romanian tango.
Nice.
Yes, yes. And I will say the cities because it's no sense to say the dates and everything, but I want to mention the city so that the people that is listening can know that
yes.
I'm coming to their place. So Bucharest, of course. Brăila, Ploiești, Arad, Jimbolia, Hunedoara, Târgu Mureș, Sfântul Gheorghe, Bacău, Oradea, Pagăraș, București, Craiova, Onești, Botoșan, Buzău, Iași. All the schedule is in my website, analiaselis.com, and I am in all the Facebook, Twitter that is X now, no?
Yeah.
Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, everything. It's taking my time, but I have to do that. It's all the information there. So, and I wait for you everywhere. Yeah, it's a celebration to all these years, beautiful years here in Romania. I really love Romania. I adore Bucharest. I like my life here. And I never, ever thought about leaving, even though I divorced then.
Right.
And I'm a single.
Uh-huh.
Yes, I'm a single. So for five
hey
years,
guys.
For I am available.
We'll go out with a final piece of music. Let's just talk about what this one is. It's also you.
It's Viento del Sur. And this is a guerrilla piece, you know. This is actually a tango to be listened to Radio Guerrilla because it's kind of chill out. I did this also because I love tango and tango is this also. I play with an amazing pianist here in Bucharest. He moved here because he's in love with Simona Castro. He got married here,
yeah.
And he is a pianist, a tango pianist.
Oh, all right.
And he was a member of Narcotango, which is a chill out band. Well,
right.
He's one of the Narcotangos.
Okay.
So he did this piece, and with this piece, I represented Romania in the ABU Radio Song Festival in Beijing a few years ago.
Wow. And good luck with the tour.
Thank you.
AnaliaCelis.com.
Uh-huh.
This has been Expat Life.
Thank you.
Del sol, suspiro empedernido. Siento el calor de tu brisa en vilo, y hoy te vuelvo a recordar, soplando en mi voz, acariciando al pan. Destino.
Sol, que llegaste al norte para ver si volvía, que traes en tu estampa una bohemia melancolía, un perfume de buenas intenciones que se perciben al olerte, la libertad de amor de tu aire alcanza una vez más mi frente.
Viento del sur, aire de tierra lejana, cruzaron por un mar de cosmopolitas aguas, y hoy escuchan desde acá tu nostalgia azul. Tu canto es una luz que siempre ilumino los abrazos de adorno.
Stay tuned for Human Real. Young minds, fresh ideas.
Listen again to this and previous shows. Find us at expatlife.ro.
Expat Life.
Bubs, please.
Good night, everybody.
Pentru limba română, apasă 1.